Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. So far this week, we've talked about diagnoses, the mental illness. Right. We talked about the difference between diagnoses and symptoms, symptomatology.
Right.
And today we're going to talk about psychosocial factors, things that happen in our lives that could contribute to problematic behaviors that could look like symptoms,
right,
but aren't necessarily a specific mental illness.
Right. And this goes back to that notion that we're not going after mental illness per se. We're really seeking who is a potential threat. Who are the potential shooters? How do we know who might engage in this kind of horrific, violent act? Who are these people? And clearly, it's not mental illness.
Right.
Okay. So we all have the same question, but the question is about mental illness. Something about what symptoms are they displaying, but it's also what we have to remember is that environmental conditions can push a person without a mental illness.
Right.
Environmental conditions can push a person to act violently,
right,
either against an individual or against groups of individuals.
Right.
The other thing that we need to keep in mind is genocide. Genocide occurs in every culture. It occurs all over the world, the Middle East, Europe, Asia, Africa. Every culture is susceptible to genocide. So how do you get a whole group of people to do mass killings?
Right.
Okay? So the fact that you can, and think of the Milgram study that you mentioned last week, and we'll talk about that in a minute, how do you get thousands of people to commit mass killings?
Right.
Okay. So think about genocide. You know, how could genocide occur? Well, there's something about us that environmental conditions can push us to do things that are unthinkable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we have, there's been a series of studies, a lot of studies actually, on what they refer to as adverse childhood experiences, ACE. And they call them the ACEs studies, Adverse Childhood Experiences Studies. And these studies, the mission was to look at various experiences as a child and look at what long-term effects these experiences have on the person's functioning.
Yeah, it's an elegant, it's more than a study, it's a whole movement now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was undertaken by a pediatrician out in San Francisco years ago. And when she said, she discovered that people who had later physical and mental illnesses, higher rates of those, were coming from the same area code, same zip code.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what is it about? What were the factors?
Right.
And so she came up with these risk factors, 10 risk factors, that said if you're exposed to these as a child, your risk of developing later mental and physical illness increases dramatically.
Right.
Okay. And so she identified 10 of these things that put you at risk for later mental and physical disability.
Yeah. And so those factors include things like physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical neglect, emotional neglect, intimate partner violence, especially if the mother is violently treated violently, substance abuse in the house, mental illness in the household, parental separation or divorce, and then, you know, if a family member or parent has been incarcerated.
Yeah, so you have 10.
Right.
And if you have four or more of these risk factors, you are at increased risk for developing later physical and mental illnesses.
Right. And when we talk about mental illnesses, it includes things like aggressive behaviors. It includes things like substance abuse and depression and anxiety and some of those kinds of things. And so the reason that we're bringing it up this week is because we know that people who grow up with certain experiences tend to have an increased risk for engaging in behaviors that could
appear, in many ways, to look like a mental illness. Mm-hmm. It could create a situation where a person becomes violent. You know, if you grow up in a culture of violence, grow up in a home where, you know, when you are upset about something, you were supposed to respond with aggression and violence.
Physically. Yeah. In some physical way.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. You're going to grow up to be an adult who believes that when something doesn't go the way that you need it to go or somebody upsets mm-hmm. you, that you're supposed to respond aggressively.
Right. So these 10 risk factors mm-hmm. May or may not have anything to do with mental illness.
Right.
Okay. But these things will put you at risk mm-hmm. for problematic behaviors later on. We're not saying they put you at risk only for mental illness.
Right.
We're saying they make you prone to mm-hmm. behaving in ways that most people would consider problematic.
Okay. Right.
That we react physically. Mm-hmm. We react without thinking. We become impulsive. Mm-hmm. We begin to abuse substances. None of this is mental illness,
right?
But you're driven by environmental circumstances to behave in certain ways,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's critical that we think about these experiences,
right.
and in fact, when we look at some mass shooters, well, let's just think about Nicholas Cruz. If you look at his life, he's had significant loss. Mm-hmm. Both of his parents passed away. You know, he has a history of aggression and violence in his own behavior.
Right.
You know, a lot of neglect, and you know, he had. Let's not forget that, or ignore the fact that after his family died, his mother died in November. October, November.
Right. In the fall.
He had to go live with a family friend. Mm-hmm. And it may be safe to extrapolate from that where were other family members?
Right.
You know, were there no others in his family that he had a relationship
with?
Where
was his support system?
Right.
I mean, here's a kid and he has to go live with a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no support, other support around.
Right. Right. So you know, the effects of abuse and neglect are profound. And we know that when I was in graduate school, we referred to it as tracks. You know, it's like when you experience abuse and neglect as a young child, it lays tracks in your brain mm. for responding and anticipating certain acts
right.
from others.
You know, there's a famous series of famous videos about a fellow named Iceman.
Mm-hmm.
Have you've seen
yeah,
those, right?
Yeah.
And Iceman is a serial killer who's now in prison, and his history is the ace of the stud.
Right.
Both parents, but his parents were horribly violent,
mm-hmm.
aggressive, physically abusive with him mm-hmm. his entire life. He dropped out of school, so he had many of these risk factors. Okay. He became an exceedingly violent mm-hmm. individual with absolutely no empathy.
I mean,
there were just no feelings at all. And when he talks about the killings that he committed, he does it in the most dispassionate mm-hmm. way. But there's clearly no feelings at all for the mm-hmm. victims. In fact, one night he went out and did an execution on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And then went back and had Christmas with his kids. His mm-hmm. He had two little kids at the time. They were under 7 or 8. They were just toddlers. And he went back and celebrated Christmas mm-hmm. that night after executing a couple of people.
Yeah.
And so he's a prime example
right.
of what these risk factors can do, what they can drive you to. The other thing we know is that even neglect mm-hmm. can be problematic. You don't have to be
right.
physically abused. In
mm-hmm.
fact, neglect may be worse than abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learned that over years of studying other kinds of mammals, but also humans,
mm-hmm.
that children who are neglected grow up to be often grow up to be violent
right.
And aggressive.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when you look at examples like Iceman, or you know, I have certainly through my forensic work, I've certainly evaluated mm-hmm. a lot of people with serious charges
sure.
of mm-hmm. murder and violence,
mm-hmm.
and you see a similar disregard, a similar you know, and then I went to the beach and
right.
then I went home and celebrated our daughter's
right.
birthday, you know, yeah, the night before I killed my daughter's mother. But, you know, we just went, and it's difficult to hear those kinds of things and think, this person, one would typically assume that this person then has a mental illness. And they don't.
But they don't.
There's not a mental illness there.
You've probably talked to people like this in your forensic work, but certainly there are videos where you'll have these people who committed crime, killed with their hands, intimate, violent deaths, knives and hands and ropes. And when they're questioned by the forensic psychiatrist or psychologist, they'll say, well, this was somebody's sister, this was somebody's mother, or this was somebody's grand. And they get this puzzled look on their face. They never gave it a thought.
Right.
You know, because their brains just don't work that way.
Right.
There are structures in our brains where empathy seems to reside.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to reside.
Yeah.
And these people seem to lack those structures. The best way I heard it put was, there's a hole where empathy ought to be in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
But there are differences in the brains of these people.
Yeah.
But they're not mental illness.
And I think that we should throw in there, remember our conversation from the other day, it's not diagnostic. You can't look at a brain scan.
No.
There's not a literal hole there,
right?
Of course.
No. That's what I say. It's an analogy. It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
You see, there's a hole where empathy ought to be.
Yeah.
There are structural differences, but once again, there are people with those structural differences who aren't that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to be very, very careful about resorting to neuroimaging studies. They're good research tools. They're not good clinical tools.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So.
But you know, one of the most fascinating studies that I read was, neglect can change DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it actually can change your DNA.
Epigenetics.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened with Iceman. It was epigenetics.
Yeah.
He wasn't born to be violent.
Right.
It was created by his environment. We're not born to it, but enough abuse, enough neglect, and terrible things can happen structurally to your DNA and to brain structures.
Right. Okay.
But again, you have a change in your DNA, it's not a mental illness.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah. So it is another wrench in the system of knee jerk to, let's just keep the guns out of people's hands if they have a mental illness.
Right.
And
we're not saying that everybody who has these things turns out.
Sure, absolutely.
We're not making excuses. We're not saying that. We're simply saying that when we're looking for potential shooters, let's look in all the places where they might reside.
Right.
And they reside more than in DSM, than in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual.
Right.
Let's make sure we look at all of them.
Yeah, there's lots of other places it can come from.
So. Right.
All right, that is it for today. Tomorrow we're going to talk about media. And the influence of media.
Violent video games?
My goodness, let's blame video games for
goodness sake. That's one of the causes of when people look for causes of violence, especially in youth. We talk about Hollywood movies and violent video games.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at that.
It's got to be
that. Are they a factor or not?
All right. So until,
stay tuned.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.